Looking for hair removal tools that not only deliver smooth results, but also empower you with a sense of complete control? Enter Conair Girl Bomb, your secret weapons for smooth, sleek results, made just for women. From the ultimate Girl Bomb grip and professional-grade blades, you don't have to compromise and settle for less. Conair Girl Bomb equips you with the precision and power previously reserved for men's grooming tools. So take your hair removal routine to the next level with Conair Girl Bomb. Available at ConairGirlBomb.com or a retailer near you.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like Eco-Eye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast. Ooh, 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 ooh,
ooh, ooh. The Nikki Glaser Podcast. Here's Nikki. Hey, happy Monday. How was your weekend, everyone? Good? Was it good? I missed you. I missed friends. I missed having a social life because I don't have one in St. Louis. I did nothing this weekend. Nothing. I got in on Thursday. As you guys heard, we did the podcast from here. And then I continued to see no one. Hang out with no one. I mean, Thursday, Friday, I had a day, you know, I went out and got my mom a car. We'll talk about it later when Andrew gets here. And then I didn't do anything Friday night, didn't do anything Saturday. And by nothing, I mean, like, I just wasn't social. I didn't, like, talk to anyone. I didn't hang out with anyone. I had no events to speak of. Am I feeling sorry for myself? A little bit. Am I annoyed I don't have any friends here? Very much so. Am I willing to go make new friends? Not at all. Why is that? Because I know who I want to be friends with. It's friends at first sight for me. This is like dating. People keep writing me being like, I'll be your friend. And it's like, it's so nice. And I'm sure we would get along. It's too awkward for me to be like, I need friends. And then what if I don't want you as a friend? See, this is why I don't date, because I hate rejecting someone and the person following up and being like, but we were meeting under the assumption that this would go further, you know? And with when you're meeting someone, even to be like, hey, we could be friends, we could hang out. I don't cold call friends. Like, I'll meet someone just in conversation at a dog park, or I don't know where the hell I'm going. I don't go to dog parks. I'm just trying to think of where I'd meet a friend. Maybe on a plane, and I get to talking with someone just because I'm forced to. And I go, honestly, I need more friends in St. Louis. Do you live in St. Louis? Then I might go, okay, I've scouted this person under the, you know, in a circumstance where we aren't expected to continue this. Now I can be the one in control and say, I want to be friends. Let's do this. I don't want, Andrew keeps saying like, you could go, you should be more social, go down to the pool, make friends. Like, what? Just go to the, okay. We went to the pool on Friday. We have a pool here at my building. And I had no desire to talk to anyone at the pool. Do you guys go to pools and talk to other people? I mean, unless you're in Las Vegas on like a girls' weekend and you're trying to hook up, do you co-mingle at pools with other people that are, and by the way, not sitting on chairs next to you, sitting, there's four groups of people and they are all scattered. How do you strike up a convo with another group that doesn't, that has their backs to you and are already enjoying their own company? You don't. But we go down there and Andrew, I just drop trow immediately because I'm tired. I hate the reveal of a bathing suit. It's one of the worst things about being a woman is the moment that you're with guy friends or like family who's not supposed to be aroused by your bikinied body. But then you have to like slowly take off your little shorts. There's no way to like do it fast so that it's not like sexual. It disgusts me. I don't like it. So I just immediately like I take off clothes. One time I had a stylist who said that I was doing a fitting. So I had to try to like a ton of fucking clothes. And he said, I take off jeans. I take off clothing like a gay guy getting his first blowjob. Like when he's finally accepted that he's gay and he's like, let's do this. And like, he wants his pants off immediately. He's like, you do it so fast. Like a high schooler, like someone who's kind of fumbling and just is like, oh, okay, well, suck my dick. That's how quickly I dropped trow. And then I went over to go stand in the pool. And then Andrew took a picture of me that he posted on our social that said something about, instead of hanging out with people, I looked at a helicopter because I felt like I was being, what was his caption? It was really like not even what was happening at all, which is one of the things that Andrew, I don't like him having liberties with our socials because he doesn't ever caption it with the truth. He doesn't even capture his own with the truth. And it's so, okay, this is what he said. Andrew says, I'm going to hang over here. You go make friends. Okay, did not happen. He didn't say that. I think Andrew thought we were down there to make friends. I was just down there to like hang by the pool. Then it says, Nikki, this is what I said, based on Andrew's caption. And it's a picture of me, by the way, in a bikini looking up at our apartment. Nikki, I'll casually start a conversation with our neighbors. I didn't say that, had no intent to do that. I don't even know if these people are our neighbors. I just feel like they just snuck in. Andrew said, great idea. He also didn't say that. And then Nikki, in quote, in parentheses, this is an action. Nikki pretends to look at a helicopter. I didn't pretend. There was a helicopter, but that wasn't what was happening right then at that moment. Later on, there was a helicopter that was flying to deliver someone who was probably in a terrible car crash to a hospital, which I found interesting because no helicopter just like is like showing up on the roof of a hospital without some like crazy shit going down. And I know it's morbid, but there's something about like, oh, there's some mangled person in that helicopter that piques my interest rather than just seeing a traffic copter. So I go, Andrew, there's probably like a dead body in there. Or like nearly dead, which is, I know it's very dark and I'm sorry if you've lost anyone to a traffic accident where it's a very common way to die and I'm terrified of it all the time. So I talk about it. And then it goes to Nikki saying, Andrew, it didn't go well. And then Andrew says, there's always tomorrow. Okay. I didn't try to make friends there. I didn't want to make friends. I will say this. So we hung out by the pool and he's like, it's really hard. Then we just started like assessing everyone's bodies there, which is, I guess, what you do as a girl who's trying to have a conversation with a horny guy. And I'm trying not to make comments about their bodies because I'm like, can we for once not? And then Andrew's like, that girl in the blue swimsuit, cute or whatever. And I was like, I'm bored with that body. And I go, by the way, it's like my body, that's why I'm bored with it. Like that girl, which she's just like, you know, 6 years younger than me and has on a suit that fits better than mine, so I was probably resenting her. And then we're about to leave and Because I stayed there a really long time, I felt. And we had a good convo. We were just sitting in the pool, and it was like a good chill moment. But I wasn't trying to make friends. And then we're getting up to leave, and I see a paper airplane on the ground. Now, this pool is in between two of the, is in the courtyard. So all the balconies for our hotel, our apartment building, look out onto the pool. Someone had thrown a paper airplane, and I saw it, and it had something written on it, but I couldn't read it. And I had my hands full, and I go, Andrew, look. And he goes, oh. And I go, pick it up. And he picked it up. And then I go, open it. Like, someone sent a message down. Can you not connect the dice? Is that what you say? Connect the dice? And then he opens it, and it says, girl in green bikini on blue towel. You're so hot, and I'd like to. It was some message to. I honestly, I'm not joking. I thought it was going to be to me. I thought I was going to win the Bachelorette of the pool. There wasn't even a. This is how fucking narcissistic I am. There was many good looking girls at this pool, and by many I mean three, and then their friends. But there were several good looking girls at this pool, including myself. Had a fresh new red bikini, looking fine in it. I run once a week. I wanted to get into my leg routine because someone asked about it. My leg routine is that my dad gave birth. Well, he didn't give birth to me, but he came in my mom. And my dad has really, his family has long, muscular legs. That's all I did. And I eat three meals a day. I don't overeat. And I run whenever I feel like it. But it's not to lose weight or to offset the calories I consumed later or before. It's just because I want to run. So that's my trick. If you want to know more, you can always DM me about how I manage my weight. So I really thought this note was going to be about me. I thought, you know what? Someone recognized me. And someone on the balcony went up and threw it off, and they want to get in touch with me. And then I had no doubt, Noah, that was what was happening, and that it was to someone, it was to another girl. So I pick it up, and Andrew just kind of stands there like he's not going to do anything with it. I go, well, let's give it to the girl. And so I walk over to the girl and I go, you won the Bachelorette of the pool. Congratulations. And I give her the note. And then this was the most annoying part. So then, by the way, the line killed. I heard a couple people repeat it, Bachelorette of the pool, as I'm walking away. And I go, congratulations, you're the hottest. And I go, did you hear it? They liked it. Do you hear that? And he goes, no, did you hear her? She said Bachelor in Paradise. And I go, what? And he goes, she had a good line. She tagged it. She said that the hottest girl at the pool, who Andrew is ascribing more personality to than she deserves. Did you hear her? She tagged it. She said Bachelor in Paradise. First of all, that's a terrible tag. It doesn't even make any sense because we're at the pool. There's pools on The Bachelor too, or Bachelorette. And by the way, I think I messed up the line because she would have won The Bachelor, not The Bachelorette. But it just makes more sense to say Bachelorette. It puts us in the setting. So bottom line is I didn't make any friends. In fact, I lost one by this morning. I was in a bad mood this morning. Not even a bad mood. I just didn't want to buy Andrew coffee this morning. I go, I'm going to Starbucks. Do you want anything? And he goes, yeah, I'll take it. Wait, I can go for you and pick it up. Just put the order in. And I go, no, I have time to go. I said the podcast is starting later. You didn't get that. And he goes, no, I thought that was a joke. And I go, no, it's starting later. And then he goes, all right, I'll go with you. And he goes, I'll take a, and I go, can you just get your own? You can just go inside and get your own. He goes, what? And I go, just go inside and get your own. As I'm putting my order in, we're still in an apartment. And he's like, I go, I just don't want to get into the habit of always buying everything. It's a little bit cunty of me, I realize, because even though I do buy him Starbucks, I've probably spent $1,000 on Starbucks for him over the course of our friendship. That always gets a thank you, but and now I bought my mom a car over the weekend, so and he made a joke about how he's going to ask for a raise now because he's aware of how much money I make. No, that doesn't mean I'm going to get your Starbucks every time. It's like, I don't know why I do this. I yell at people. I buy them things without any expectation. And then the second they expect it, I admonish them. Don't know what that is. Gonna get to it. Gonna talk about buying my mom a car over the weekend, which is a purchase I do not regret. I did order it on the Starbucks app and it was available for me when I got there. Just kidding. It wasn't. It took forever to buy a fucking car. I almost walked out of the place. Give me a goddamn break with the car lots are the biggest scam. I roasted these guys so hard. I go, my mom goes, what is taking so long? Because it took forever. And I go, it's all the pageantry of, oh, if this man pulls you in this room and then this other man pulls you in this room and then you wait, it's all like, oh, they really got to talk about that. They're going to give you this good deal. It's all smoke and mirrors. And all these guys are laughing. I go, look at you. You're all criminals. You don't even realize it, but if any of you are actually good people, you'll burn out of this career pretty quickly, because to be a car salesman, you have to be a terrible, terrible person. I go, this guy coming over to me, showing me a sheet. We never show this to anyone. I go, is that written at the top of the sheet to remind you to say to me, I never show this to anyone? They're all like cracking up because they knew car salesmen are not good people. But I made some friends there. He might come over and bring me, well, I can't say what he's going to bring me, but a bow to put on my mom's car that I'm going to smoke. Okay. So I did make a friend at the dealership. I will say that. A friend or a dealership. It's not a friendship. It's a dealership is what it turned into. If anyone at that dealership is listening, please know that your employee was nothing but professional. I was the one that was unprofessional and forced him to make a deal. All right. Let's get Andrew in here.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
Hey, Andrew.
Good morning, Roomy.
How'd you sleep?
I slept pretty good there. We watched a good movie last night together.
We did? Did we? What? Eat, Pray, Love. Yes. I Netflix has been recommending me Julia Roberts movies because I watched Notting Hill on...
part of it.
I watched... I watched more of it last night and I still couldn't get through it.
Do you think Netflix knows if you watched half a movie and they're like, okay, Jay should try again?
No, they definitely know. They know. I mean, I went into a meeting with Netflix before my special came out. I can't even talk about what I saw in there.
What did you see in there?
Talk about the
now
car dealership where they're like, I'm going to show you something I've never shown you. They show, if you're on Netflix, they will show you stuff that they don't show other people. Let me just tell you. They know you more than you know yourself. And I know you know that, but you don't know it. Here, for example, Noah, when you log on to Netflix, it will have all of the movies have all of their like big. No, I would say most of their movies have probably 5 to 10 different
categories,
covers. You know, like when you're looking the pictures. And they will change it based on what you like. So there was this movie that literally has probably a cameo of Pete Davidson in it. And he is on the cover for mine. And I go, Pete Davidson's in this movie. And I look at the movie. He's not even listed
with
in the
Kaya Gerber. It's like him fucking Kaya Gerber. Oh, that's what it is. That's what the movie is. Click on it.
It was a movie that he probably was in as much as he was in Trainwreck, like one scene. But they think I'm a Pete Davidson fan because I'll be honest, I am on someone else's Netflix that is attached to our TV.
Thank you, that family.
They're really worried about their son. I think their son's name's Andrew, and it's all kids' movies. And then Notting Hill. They're gonna think that kid, Notting Hill, and Eat, Pray, Love. That kid is.
Really into Hugh Grant.
I mean, Hugh Grant is so cute.
He had a hell of a run.
Oh, I loved him so much. I had the biggest crush on him as a kid. Those
crow's feet. He had a comeback. He had whatchamacallit. The one show was huge last year.
The Undoing.
Yes.
Yeah, with Nicole Kidman. I never saw it, but yeah, I heard that. He looked very. He always was wrinkly. Like that's the thing I like about him. I don't even the fun game I like to play with these movies from 1998 is. How old are these actors? And they're all younger than me right now. Like Julia Roberts in Notting Hill. I mean, that movie was 1998. What are we looking at? Julia Roberts. How old is Julia Roberts right now? Hmm. What do you think Julia Roberts is?
I'm guessing she is today 52. Or in that movie?
Yeah, no. Oh, I think she's probably 52 now.
I bet she's... She might be... Is she 52?
Wait, let's see.
53.
She is 53. Wow. Okay. She's 5'9". She's married to Danny Motor. She was also married to Lyle Lovett. Yeah. Last night, Andrew goes, I'm not going to do an impression. So Julia Roberts, maybe, wasn't she married to that one? And then he said some role.
Like a PA.
A PA, which, by the way, a PA is the guy who stocks LaCroix in the...
Yeah, it's a good job.
In the...
It's a strong... It's a job
cooler.
That...
Cooler.
Yeah,
it's... And gets people coffee.
Yeah.
And, you know... there's no way Julia Roberts is even talking to PAs. No offense. I would. But no, he was a... I think he was a camera op, which is even weirder that she would talk to... Like, they're really behind...
No, but we get it. Like, you've been on set... You get it in these, there's romances that a brew because you're just with them all the time. So she just saw this guy. She's probably sick of fucking guys like Lyle Lovett.
Oh my God. She fucking was 30 when she made Notting Hill. Probably 29. She looks old in that. Like she doesn't look 20. I mean, she does look 29, but like 29 looks like a woman.
I saw a TikTok video where, I learn all my stuff from TikTok, which is a Blinkist. But it's
people don't know what Blinkist
is.
I don't know why you keep saying Blinkist like it's like this cultural
look. Some jokes that people have to look up. You've told me this before. You've literally said this.
But
they go, if they don't get the joke, they'll find it. Then they'll realize it's a joke.
Reference to even look up.
Well, that's how deep it is. That's a deep cut,
okay.
Boy.
All
the
right.
Deep cut. So TikTok.
I told you about an app once that literally no one is on, and now you use that app reference, Blinkist, all the time. And I'm just like, people don't know what that is.
I know.
Then I have to stop down and explain to them that Blinkist is an app that Andrew thinks everyone is on. Like, you know, my mom with Ask Jeeves.
So I watch this TikTok. If you look at old yearbook of people or like people in their like late 20s or the guys on Cheers,
yeah,
were like in their early 30s and they look literally 75 years old. And then I saw this TikTok where testosterone has gone down 1% in men every year. So it's gone down like 20% in the last 20 years. I don't know. That I didn't do any more it. Research than that.
Yeah.
But it
been
explains
having a
13-year-old why Julia Roberts
just point
looked
at the corner of the screen at text that she wrote over the song that's like din 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 din. And then her dad screams because she scares him. Is that what's
And that's where I learn everything.
I don't know. I just
no, but it's interesting though. Like, did actors look older back then? Not maybe because women had more testosterone, but like people looked older for some reason.
Well, Eat, Pray, Love really bothered me. Really bothered me. First of all, I love Elizabeth Gilbert. She wrote a book that I really always like think about that my friend gave me called it's about writing. And it's about the fact that if you don't do anything with the ideas in your head, like, you know how we all go like, you know, it'd be a great movie or, you know, it'd be a great joke or whatever, but we just don't sit down and write it. She did a book about the fact that if you don't do those things, those are like energy and they will leave your brain and go into someone else's. Do you ever hear a movie or a joke or a premise or a, you know, even if you're listening to this podcast and you heard of a like invention, like on Shark Tank or something, and you go, I thought of that first. The reason it's a lot of people probably thought of it, but that idea was energy that like you weren't going to do anything with it. So it just went to find another vessel and it will find its way into the world if you don't do something with it. And I love that book. Anyway, Elizabeth Gilbert was the one who wrote it. And then it so happens that she is the one from Eat, Pray, Love. I'd never seen Eat, Pray, Love. If you don't know what it is, it's too late. You should know what it is. So Julia Roberts was in the movie adaptation of it. And it was so you guys. I mean, I posted kind of some of the ness that was happening. But like when she is learning Italian and the guy teaches her a word and she's like, I love that word. It's the perfect mixture of sounds. And I thought she was going to bang this guy, but it ended up he was banging her friend. It was like, but that wasn't even a storyline. It was like, there was a very sexual scene with these two. And then all of a sudden the guy is with her friend. Was anyone else confused by that? Just me? Okay. Then he goes, now you teach me a word. And she's like, okay, so this, and she holds up wine, right? Like a carafe, a carafe of wine. I thought it was going to be carafe. And she goes, therapy. I hate anyone who talks about alcohol being therapy. If you have a shirt with it on it, I saw a group of women with shirts that were going to like probably Vegas for some women's weekend. They were like, wine is cheaper than a therapist. And I was just like, I just could them so hard.
It is so cool. I saw a commercial last night of a seltzer that was promoting that it has antioxidants. First hard seltzer with antioxidants.
Yeah, I mean, organic. What? I saw that organic Michelob seltzer. What? Do we even know what these words mean anymore? Are people that stupid? And the answer is yes. People are so fucking stupid. Not you guys listening because you're savvy and if you were dumb, you probably couldn't like enjoy this.
Cut to a guy drinking a Michelob Light while doing power cleans. Be like, yeah, this is great.
People are really, really dumb. And that's why going to that car dealership was just such a trip because this whole like everything is built around people being stupid and consumers.
And don't want to be inconsiderate.
Yeah.
Like there's a way that these dealerships, they make you feel guilty for questioning them. And, you know, like that's how I think. I think that they're
like. Andrew was sitting there in his phone looking up the value of my mom's car and muttering to himself as I'm signing the sheet being like, I'm paying for this car. I don't care if I can save $700 because some guy in Tulsa put his car up and it has the same specs. It's like, I don't care. And Andrew's just going, I could you guys know it's like this, but. And I'm just going, what? And he's whispering to my mom about some value. And he goes, Andrew found it cheaper, Nikki. And I go, I don't care. I don't. And then I go to the guys. I do the whole thing with the guys. They go, we're only making $400 off of this car. We don't ever usually show this stuff. And they went through this whole thing. So I just go, you know what? I'm not trying to screw over anyone. Everyone needs to make money. We're in a capitalist society. I don't care about paying for things when they're going to support a business.
Okay, but you know? I'm just saying though that you probably could have offered cheaper. There is something that they do, though, where they go, oh, you're offering cheaper, so therefore you don't have enough money to pay for the actual price of the car. Like, it makes you feel...
I went in saying, I'll pay a check, give you whatever you got. I don't care how much it is. So is that another way to do it?
You're like, you fill it
I
out.
I just wanted to get the fuck
I
out
know,
of there, dude.
I know, but that's their
God,
move.
It took
that's
so
their
long.
Move. They go, oh, we got to talk to a guy in the back. We left for an hour.
We left for an hour. Andrew went to get a massage. I went to Crazy Bowls and Wraps to get some food with my mom. We came back. We still had to wait. It was, and I was just eating this bowl in their lobby, just roasting these guys who
Did
were just
Did you talk
kinda,
about the roast stuff? How people want you to roast them and then you get too
no.
mean and then they get sad?
Yeah. I said to the guy that was helping us, I go, I'm kind of famous. Could you like make a deal with me if I post about you guys? I have a lot of followers. And he was like, I'll have to ask my manager. I go, I'm not kidding. I'm like legit fame. And he was like, I don't know. And then the word got through the place. Everyone else knew who I was except our guy.
Yeah. Or maybe
Which
he
made me
knew
like
and that's
more.
His tactic.
No,
he
didn't know.
He didn't know. That guy
he was
didn't
a
know.
Sweet, he was a sweet guy. He was my fave out of all of them because they were all, then they all came up and they were, I mean, I liked them all. They were all very nice. But this one guy was like, I'm a big fan of your roast. Will you roast me? And I was like, oh, okay, yeah, sure. And he had Invisalign. And I was going to make the joke, but you got in it before. I go, I like your Invisalign. And then Andrew goes, I wish they were invisible. And then I go, he doesn't think you, he doesn't know who you are.
I'm just a bully.
You're just a guy sitting in a chair being like.
Yeah, it's great.
Stepping on my lines. It was funny. And then I said, I didn't know they came in yellow for
yeah,
his Invisalign.
Yeah, that was a great line. And
then everyone was like, whoa. And I was like, that was too mean. And it was true, too, because they were kind of like.
And then I was like, rescue dog. I go, you need rescue teeth. Your teeth
yeah, that
need
was
rescued.
Good too.
Like we were just double teaming these guys, and we're not even as mean as we could be.
Oh
like,
my god, I couldn't even come up. I couldn't even. I was every joke I thought of was so mean. I would have to then spend more time to like take the edge off and like you know cut it down.
People don't want that. They don't want that.
People don't want to be roasted, and if you do, you're a masochist. And there's this subreddit called Roast Me where people hold up a sign that says Roast Me, and the people that do it are already depressed and they hate themselves and they're just trying to pile on. Cause sometimes when I'm sad, I like to go like, I'm ugly and I am stupid and I'm worthless. And I like to say that to my friends, not for them to talk me out of it, but for, I just want people to bully me. I want to get beat up when I'm depressed. There's just something about me. Like sometimes
it's like being
I
want a cutter or something.
Yeah.
I
want to get
it's
hit by a car. Like when I'm depressed and I'm walking down the street, I want a car to come off the street and hit me. I have envisioned
Would you
it.
Die or just get drilled?
I'd probably like get knocked unconscious so I don't have to be depressed.
How depressing would that be though if you were fine? Like maybe that would wake you up.
Yeah, like, probably anything to jostle you up. Or I want to get bit by a dog. I sometimes want that. So when these people go on Reddit and ask people to roast them, I get so sad because I'm like, these people don't really have the tough skin that they think they do.
Wait, why do you want to get bit by a dog? Like where do you want to get bit? Like how hard?
I just think of a dog attacking me when I'm really depressed. It's a weird thought I have, but when I'm really depressed, it's not even.
No, I'm not.
I just want to punish myself. I just want like to inflict as much. Because you know what it is? I want to be in as much physical pain as I am inside. And no one can see how sad I am on the inside. That's the problem with depression is like the reason you kill yourself or you like the reason sometimes I would want to have those thoughts is because no one believes how sad you are because look at your life. You have this going on. You have this. You have, you know, blonde hair. I don't know. People just describe like, why are you sad? I don't even understand why people are depressed sometimes. You know, you don't get it. And you just want a physical manifestation of it so everyone can go, oh, and actually believe you.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it doesn't...
If you're in a full body cast, people aren't questioning your sadness.
Exactly, yeah. Or your pain. But otherwise, you're... And you know what? Even then, they're questioning your pain because no one believes people's pain. So when someone in your life is in pain and they say they're in pain, how about today and this week we just practice believing them? No matter what it is, if they have a headache, if they are... you don't go... Why do you feel that way? You just go, I'm sorry. Let's all practice that. I'm sorry you're feeling that way. Well, it's maybe you should go do this. No. Just say, I'm sorry and give them a fucking hug. That's
all.
And
then throw them in front of a car.
Then throw them in front of a car so that they have a physical representation of their pain. Let's get
and
to the
And then a dog bites them after the car. Oh, here we go, boy. It's the
you heard
Monday
it here,
watch.
Heard it here first. Yeah, you heard it here first.
Oh, you heard it here first, Nick. Here it is. You didn't hear this anywhere else. I hope you're having a great time. All the swells. Oh, boy. I'm excited.
Whoa. Coming in hot.
I think I was using the energy off the other segment.
I loved it.
All right. All right. You don't have to make an excuse. Oh, we were talking about this. You don't have to make an excuse when you end a conversation. Everyone, it's very hard to get out of conversations.
Yes.
You had the phone thing the other day where you go, oh, your phone died?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
So essentially,
you could just say, I have to go, and no one has to know why, by the way, because even if you have to go because the person's boring, still means I have to go. You're not lying.
That's so true.
You
but what if they go, why do you have to go?
No one says that. And by the way, if they do, okay, let's do a conversation, okay. And I'm bored, okay?
I mean, this is every day.
No, this is where you're my sister. Okay?
Okay,
like let's think of like you know.
Oh my God!
Trying
so
to put
Poppy,
this in,
Poppy's like a I don't know. She's been having a little bit of a sickness lately.
Aww.
I don't know. Her nose is running a lot.
Well, I wouldn't get out of it on that note. I would actually be interested in that. Something boring.
Poppy's not sick. No.
Poppy's doing great. Okay. Lauren, I
would never. No. I'll say this.
I'd never be bored with my sister.
Today.
Let's do something. I'd never be bored with my sister, honestly.
Okay.
Or if I did, I would. Do you actually? I would be. Okay.
Should I be your mom?
Yeah, be my mom.
So
my mom's always bored with me.
Store.
This is my mom.
I went to a thrift store yesterday, and they didn't have anything
that
I thought.
I gotta go. I'm really sorry, but I gotta go. And we'll finish this conversation later, though. But I do want to hear the rest of it. She would never say that, but yes, of course. Say why.
Why?
I gotta go, Mom.
Why? Why are you going?
I have other stuff to do.
What do you have to do that's more important?
I gotta send some emails. I gotta go for a run. I gotta clean my room. I gotta fold laundry.
But Nick, I could help you do that. You want me to come over and
mom,
help you?
Mom, all I and want in my life is for you to be comfortable. And my mom never wants to talk to me. So this is almost like triggering for me because this is the kind of mom I wish that wanted to hang out
with
me.
Your mom hangs up on you?
Oh, my mom.
I'm so jealous.
Always hangs up on me. Well, okay, Nick. Well, I'll let you go. And I go, I literally called you 30 seconds ago. But you're busy, Nick. You're always running around. I don't know when to ever call you. And I go, well, the answer isn't never.
I actually am very happy when my mom goes, because my mom, who's tends to be on the sad or depressed side, she'll go, hey, I'm playing cards with the girls. Gotta go. Like right away. And I'm like, oh my God. So she's okay. She's with the girls.
It has
she's
nothing to do
cards.
With you. Yeah. That shouldn't. Yeah.
But I'm very
understand.
Happy for her. Like
yeah.
That makes me feel at peace because she's been such a loner and like,
right.
You know, her
yeah.
Whole
that, feel,
life.
That makes you feel good that she's having a good time with the girls.
Yeah. Have some fun.
But
with
otherwise,
the girls.
You don't need to worry about your mom being lonely. That's up to her, not you.
But
you
so
know
these
I mean?
People, they say that 25% of people want shorter conversation. And they go, this is the way that they go. This is a good excuse. They go, I've loved our conversation. Let's talk soon. So you're kind of saying,
well,
that could be a lie.
If that's a lie, then I don't like it.
Also, you have to follow up. You can't just say, we're going to have a conversation.
No, these are all lies to me. And if that's true, that's great. But like, just, I just don't understand why we have to like, everything I
because
watch.
Because of how people react. I think so much of it is the reaction.
That's their fault. It has nothing to do with you. People's reactions. People need to get over the fact that when other people... But I made her feel this way. No, you didn't. She felt that way.
Yeah.
He made me feel like I was being rude. He made me feel like, well, no, he thought you were being rude, but it didn't make you feel anything. So stop with the made me feels. I say it all the time and I have to stop myself because it's just, it ain't true.
Do you have like a thing?
Well,
that?
I wanted to share something that someone had written me, but I don't know. Oh, God. All my screenshots have not been saving. I'm so annoyed. I saved a wart video the other day.
You're
it was
probably
so
up
delectable.
For an upgrade on your phone.
I know. I probably am. I just don't. It's going to take too long. I want everything to happen quickly. That's why I won't buy a car for myself. I don't want to go through that again. I just want a car to show up. That's why Carvana is probably the way for me to go.
You busted your nut on your mom. You should have.
My mom keeps going, you getting a car for yourself? Because my mom is obsessed. And I go, I don't really want a car. I didn't want to buy a car for myself. I'm just driving her jalopy.
I like that car for you.
I mean, I
the license plate falling off. It's an
I
old
know.
Lexus.
The license
plate gold.
The car looks drunk because the license plate is akimbo. The car.
The car should get a DUI on its own.
I think I should get pulled over. I bet I would get pulled over more likely. The other day, my mom, by the way, getting to next story in a second. My mom and I were driving two crazy bulls and wraps from the car dealership and we saw a cop pulled in West County, St. Louis, pulled over a black woman. She's outside the car. Her car's being searched or whatever. She just looks like annoyed as anyone would be with a cop probably needlessly pulling her over. And my mom just goes, of course they're pulling over a black person. Why did they have to? And I go, let's drive past and say, pull over a white person. See how it feels. If I was a cop, I would never pull over a black person. Can I say that? I would never. Maybe that's a bad cop move, but I think it is so cur and so hack to be a white cop and pull over a black person. You must feel like I'm so cliche. It would be the same as feeling like if you were like eating a box of donuts in your car as a cop. You would just feel like, isn't this the most cop? Doesn't everyone not want to be a cliche? So why pull over black people needlessly? Even if they were speeding, I would just let it fucking go. Is that crazy?
I mean,
I want to become a cop just so I never pull over a black person, literally ever.
But the only counter I would have of that is going, well, then you're, how do I put this?
Like, I'm racially profiling the other way.
Yeah,
and I'm letting maybe some crimes happen by black people. Not that any black person that I don't, you know, turn a blind eye to is doing something wrong. But yes, I think much like affirmative action, where we give people of different races that have been, you know, discriminated against.
Okay, so what if you don't pull over a black person that's clearly hammered and you go, ah, they're black, they're drunk driving, they'll get home, and then they kill someone, then how do you feel as a cop?
Well, first of all, if they're driving all clearly drunk,
yeah,
fine. But if they're speeding a little bit, like every other soccer mom driving a CRV in West County, then I'm going to let them go. I just think it's...
I'm with you on that.
I would feel like such a fucking loser to be a cop pulling over a black person, a white cop. I would just feel like, what a hack. It'd like me being like,
Any minor infraction shouldn't be pulled over because you're just it's almost like they want things to escalate. Well, so then they go, ooh, I did this today. I'm a bad boy. I figured it. You know what I mean?
And then we pull up to Crazy Bulls Raps and there's a black girl at the drive through and she has on a jacket that says, fuck Trump or something like that. And my mom goes, love it. And I go, most people are not going to love it. That girl is brave. And I go, I hope she doesn't get pulled over because I'm sure she would probably try to take off her jacket because she didn't want to piss off the white cop. And then the white cop would think she was grabbing a gun or something. It would just like, you know, next story.
Okay. So you end that conversation. Is the conversation over about
that? Yeah, I'm
bored. Yeah.
I'm bored with myself.
We'll get back to it later.
Honest and say we're not getting back to it because I'm tiptoeing around tricky territory, even though I think and I know I'm right.
We get to the bottom of things. All right. So next story. Here we go, folks. Having swells. Okay. A high school is off. Oh, man. You're going to like this story. A high school is offering outraged parents refunds after clumsily photoshopping 80 female students' yearbook photos to make them look more covered up. So girls were showing their cleavage a little bit. Look at these cover-ups. A straight line.
Oh my God, that looks like a tank top from 2002.
So 80
girls. The tank top every girl wore under her shirt.
So instead of being like, hey, change your top or whatever, they just literally photoshopped them of covering up their tits. What a weird job, whoever's doing this, by the way, of being like, too much tits, I'm going to cover it. Like, what a creep that guy is for figuring out who has too many tits.
And what are we going to do? Who is this protecting? Who is this? I mean, honestly, who is this for?
It makes girls that develop their tits feel uncomfortable, too. It's like...
And that girls, they're not even like... These pictures are not gratuitous at all.
Apparently, there's like, guys with Speedos in the same yearbook.
No.
All cock showing. Nothing. No cover up.
I mean, is this like a Christian school? Is this some lame...
It's in Florida. It's called the Bardem School. I'm sure. I think it might be.
It didn't say if it was private or not. But the thing is that the girls did dress according to the dress code of the school.
Right.
And there's a quote over there. Like one of the girls, she's like, this made me feel like the fact that they edited it, it made me feel so sexualized.
Yes.
Because she was so confident and excited about going to school, like in her outfit and taking the picture.
This is all to protect men. I remember we couldn't wear tank tops in middle school because it was distracting to the boys.
Could you wear skirts above 4 inches above the knee or whatever?
Tank tops were the issue because it was distracting to boys. Or, you know,
so
we wouldn't even address maybe lesbians. It was maybe, you know, distracting as well.
But you couldn't pay attention in class? That's what they were, their argument was?
The boys
was?
Couldn't pay attention in class if there was girls wearing tank tops. I mean, that was a legitimate thing that got announced and banned at our school, because, and that was the reason it was given in 1997 or whatever that was. It's so ridiculous. And the idea that women's nipples or breasts are a problem, like, I was walking down the street yesterday and I was like, I should be able to walk down the street topless.
Hell yeah.
Fuck all of this. Like, the free the nipple thing, I understand, like, it. By the way, I like wearing bras. They make my boobs feel secure. Otherwise, they're swinging everywhere and they get sweaty and I just feel baggy and, like, weird. But I told this story. Remember when I was on set and my nipples were, like, hard and, like, everyone could see them, and then the whole set stopped down because it was like, Nikki, your nipples are hard. It was just like, so what?
Yeah.
Jennifer Aniston was hard the entire, like, first through fifth season of Friends. And that's what she's known for, by the way, which shouldn't be. Like, everyone, like, I reference it all the time, too, but, like, what...
Feel like they're doing you a favor by saying
that.
Your nipples are. I'm not.
Yeah, everyone on that set was like well intentioned for sure. But the thing is, it was the reason why nipples. Like, I don't like to show cleavage. I never show cleavage, and if I do, it is like because I'm dressed up for an event, and I try to stay out of the eye line of my guy friends. I don't like to like dress sexy around men who I'm not trying to seduce. So I never understand women who have cleavage out. And this is me being very supportive of women doing whatever you want with your bodies. I don't like turning on men around me accidentally.
But do you think that comes back to your
it
thing
does.
About the tank top?
But that's what's probably bred in me is from like hearing that your body is a distraction to men and they can't take you seriously has embedded itself in my head. But isn't it true, though, like, when I'm wearing something sexy or like have a lot of skin showing, isn't it a little bit harder for you to take me seriously and like talk to me as a friend?
Can I be honest?
Yes.
No, because I know you so well.
Right. Okay.
It depends. Like if you're working with someone and they're showing some skin, I don't think it's that big of a deal. But if it's like a random person, then yeah, I think it definitely can fuck with a guy. He'll definitely, but you know what? It could fuck with him to your favor. Like I don't, it all, you know I what I mean? Like, and I know you don't want to win that way. But a lot of women, they win because they show a little cleavage. Like you said, when you like seeing guys at strip clubs because they're so dumb. You throw your cleavage out and you sell a car to a guy, a Tesla, he's more likely to maybe go, hey, I'll spend an extra 20 grand because he's stupid.
I know. And I don't like to win that way. And so I think that's why I don't like to do that stuff is because when people are like, Nikki, you looked so sexy at the thing, I'm always like, I didn't dress sexy because I was talking about the other day, like it is sexiness takes away from funny. Like you can't be funny and like you can be.
But
both
I think
those
you
things.
Can. I think you can. But I the think thing that's is, like a misconception.
No,
in our
but
head.
Men get horny. Your body is not in the right mindset to laugh at jokes and be more cerebral, which is what comedy is. It takes you out of that cerebral. I'm going to make smart decisions. I'm going to, you know, understand irony. It makes you in your dumb caveman. I want to like come on that head, which is not as like when you're horny. Do you laugh as much? Probably not.
I don't know. I've laughed at a lot of strippers riding my cock, but
when you get horny backstage, sometimes at shows like back in the day when you used to get DM'd,
you get zoned.
You were
in.
Not fun to be around. You were not giggly as much. You were just like horny. And
okay,
it was, like,
my thing though is that I think a woman can dress sexy with mm-hmm. skin out. And all that stuff, and a guy will not really think of sex that much if it's like a professional while being sexy. There's a difference between that and a woman like wearing like a thong bikini and then trying to tell one-liners.
I get that.
Like there's a line between how sexy, like, where a woman's like dressed to fuck.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. If you go to a smoothie place and the girl behind the counter has gigantic boobs and they are out, are you not going to talk about her boobs with your guy friend as soon as you leave the place?
I'm sure we will.
That is what bothers me. Yeah. I don't want to be talked about behind my back by two dudes. And I don't
but
also...
But if it was a shirtless guy with a ripped body, you talk about that with your girlfriend.
But why would a shirtless guy be selling smoothies?
Okay, what if you... Okay, he had big arms and he was wearing a t-shirt where his arms were like amazing.
Okay, maybe we'd comment on it, but...
I'm not saying it's a bad thing either way, though.
Noah, when you wear, like, sometimes you wear low-cut things and you have, like, some skin showing, do you ever catch men looking at your boobs and then they are kind of distracted? It makes me so uncomfortable if that happens.
Okay, men don't look at my boobs because they barely exist, but I do have another feature on my body that I catch guys looking at.
But is that
my tuchus.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. So how do you catch guys looking at your tuchus, though?
Huh?
How do you catch guys looking at your tuchus? Because it's behind you. It's not like not in your eye line.
Right. Like if I turn around or something.
Really quick and they'll be like, ugh. And they're like, and then you slip on the drool in front of them.
Look, yeah, I have to say, Nikki, I know what you're talking about. I hate being sexualized, but I am envious of girls who have that natural sexiness and they could just get things done with it.
Yep. I know a lot of them.
Yeah.
And they harness it and they use it
I think you've been more comfortable with that, though, since came in and like just being like, okay, yeah, I want to look good. You could say whatever, like, because I know other female comics have said stuff to you in the past where it's like, you shouldn't lead with your body or your good looks. Fuck that. Seriously. Like, I honestly think, like,
I agree.
Like, it all depends on your environment, too. Like, if you're in a Cayman, you're always in a bikini. It's not even about skin anymore. You're just, that's who you are. That's your environment.
Yes.
When you're in New York and you're even wearing sandals on stage, people are like, ooh.
Well, present at the iHeart Radio Awards this Thursday. And I was talking to my stylist about what do I want to wear? And they said, why don't we do a suit look? Because you've been wearing you did a lot of mini skirts for the MTV thing. And I was like, yeah, maybe, but I never feel sexy in a suit. I'm a single woman. I do want to get people's attention. It's a big platform. I am fucking horny as fuck. I want to be sexualized when I'm like on that big of a platform because I want to find a husband and I want to find someone who deserves to bang me. And I want to put that in people's, and it's an excuse to do. You're on a red carpet. This is a big platform.
And you don't need to be funny that day.
And the thing is, my legs, I do, I'm going to be funny, but my legs are my best feature right now. Like, I just like them. It's the first time I've ever liked my legs. I always thought they were like fat and too muscular. And now I'm like, oh, they're actually good. And I'm not, it's not like I like think they're sexy. I'm just like, there's nothing to be ashamed of anymore. Mm-hmm. That's the way I feel about them. And so I said to them, I wrote this and then I erased it, but I was like, I'm down to try a suit, but like also, I'm not going to have these legs forever. So why not flaunt them as long as you have them, you know? And so, but the thing is, I'm so worried about certain someone.
Yeah, I know.
Who's been watching my stories recently.
Okay.
Or a certain other someone who's also been watching my stories saying to me, you always look all you do and then screenshotting something and then sending it to her friends and to other people being like, Nikki thinks she's so hot. All she does is like she's just trying to get people to think she's hot. Da, 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 da,
fuck
da.
Them.
I know. But the thing is, I am because I'm single as fuck, bitch.
Okay, good. So lean into it then and say, you know what? This is at least if you're honest about it to yourself as well. Who gives a fuck? This is what you want. Like, this is who you like. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like all that shit, too, is projection on their part, too. And they're mad at their own
body.
When
I'm talking to a guy who doesn't know that I like him, but I do like him. And I've decided to like I was saying with Noah, making friends, how like I get to decide when I want us to be friends. I get to decide when I want to pursue you romantically. You don't pursue me. I love when a guy that has no idea that I'm into them, I can start dressing sexy and I catch them looking at me in sexual ways. That is very exciting. But when it's a guy that I don't want that energy from, it's so gross.
It'd be great if like there was like a dress that you could like hit a button and it just gets real hot and then you could hit a button again and then it's like completely like not sexual at all.
Oh
you
my
know,
God.
Like depending, it's like a force field of like to get away from
talking
creepy
about sexy,
men.
You got your midriff hanging out.
It's not hot. I'm getting to that age where much I work out,
I
have this like thing.
No, what do you mean? What thing?
Guys get this fat. Every guy knows it's around the hips, and when you get a little older,
Welcome to a woman's body. I mean, honestly, that women have that kind. That it's just fat.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. It's
yeah,
cool.
That's not. I
went hiking yesterday. I did exercise.
Oh yeah, we didn't even talk about your.
Oh my god,
weekend.
I want to talk about a ledge. I really want to talk about people that go to the.
We'll
ledge.
Get to it. Final thought, but let's. Why do I care?
Here we go. Why do you care about this? Okay, Alex Rodriguez, who recently got broken up with, launches a makeup.
Oh, yeah.
Line for men. He Good. Did it actually with J-Lo, yeah. Him and hers.
Oh, that poor guy that signed that contract when he was so like into J-Lo. And she was like, I think this is a good idea. And now they're broken up and he has to actually go through with it and fucking tout this makeup line. Look at him. I think he is so adorable. I used to watch videos. There's a picture of him putting on some makeup, which, by the way, men should wear makeup. It's ridiculous. You don't. If you have a really rockin' zit. Don't wear it on a first date because if I saw a guy wearing, you guys don't know how to apply it. So you're going to be like me in eighth grade and put on way too much and everyone's going to know you're wearing it. So get your girl, let me apply it on you when we're in a relationship. But I have no qualms about that. You'll look better.
But when does it end? At blush?
I mean, guys would look better with mascara, blush, everything. They don't
realize
it. I just
love A-Rod is like, the next line is lipstick. And people are like, wait, A-Rod, what's going, are you? But he named it some like the power home run. The home run blush, you know, like something really manly.
The things you agree to. This is like a.
That's so true, though. He agreed to it. It was her probably idea. He's like, yeah, I'll do
that.
She
was like, I think it's very masculine for you to do a makeup line.
You know
think
who
it's
doesn't
so sexy
wear makeup? Ben Affleck on his back because it's too much.
Yeah, you can't cover that shit up. Oh my God, they're hanging out again. Did you see that? I care about that. I care about all of this. I love a rekindling of a romance.
So when I was in high school, I'd get real red around my nose and my chin. And I wore, my mom gave me concealer, but I wasn't good at putting it. It was like liquid concealer.
Yeah.
And by the end of the day, I was like, everyone can see this. Mm-hmm. But no one ever commented on it. So maybe people don't, because they don't expect it. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I felt
okay
putting on. I
saw a guy wearing makeup one time who was a writer on one of my shows. And the first day of work, he came in and I was like, he has makeup on. And I was like, that was a bad choice because, again, he doesn't know how to wear it. But I liked the fact that he did it because guys have zits and stuff and bags under their eyes.
Where did he put it on?
I think it was like he had some zits or something and he was trying to cover it up. First day of work, it made sense. It was very cute. It very much endeared him to me. But I think men should wear makeup. I'm all for it. But this is a very embarrassing thing that he has to do on the heels of a breakup where his ex is hanging out with like.
Is this why she broke up with him? She's like, look, you're I'm walking all
it
over you.
It was a test. She goes, let's do it. She was like, what's his
I'll
name?
I'll tell you what a blemish
Alex.
Is this relationship.
You know what? I do love them, though. And I think he's really cute and I am available for him, even though he probably wouldn't go for me. I'm not his type. But like, I think he is a really, really. In that relationship, I thought he was just so sweet and like.
But
so,
you don't know what's going on behind closed doors.
Maybe he cheated on her, but I'm cool with guys sleeping with other women. Not sleeping with. Just don't give me any diseases. I want to hear about it though.
You just put a blemish, put a little blur on top of your pussy.
Yeah, that's what I do. I just put a little concealer over the fact that they get blowjobs from other women, and then yeah. Okay, let's get to top one, bottom one. Every Monday we list. The top one and the bottom one from a different category. This week's category is?
Noah?
Teachers.
Top one, bottom one, teachers. Over the weekend, I posted on my socials a clip from my MTV hosting thing. And I did they had the Zoom audience, all those little squares of people. And I said I felt like a teacher during the pandemic. And I said, except that I get paid a living wage.
Did people write you then, about that?
No, it was in support of teachers because I.
It is.
Teachers are the most it's the most thankless profession, even though we all think that we thank teachers enough. You don't. And parents, knowing a lot of people who are teachers, parents are terrible nowadays. It used to be that parents would go, well, your teacher gave you homework. You got to do it. Now parents call teachers and go, why'd you give my kids so much homework? Oh. Every parent is persecuted by teachers and their child is so special and a shining star.
Oh my God.
And the teacher is giving them too much work. And if a student gets a bad grade, it's the teacher's fault, not the student anymore. And any teacher listening, will you nod along with me right now if your biggest headache is not the students, but the parents? And any parents listening, will you lay off the goddamn teachers? Will you just... admit to yourself that your kid might be a fuck up and might not be the brightest student, and that it's kind of on them.
Did your parents ever talk to teachers? Because I remember, like, in sports, like,
but sometimes teachers are terrible, which we're gonna get to.
But there were some, like, there were parents that would talk to the coaches, like, after the game, to be like, "Why are you not playing Johnny enough?
Yeah.
Johnny could be
it's
the best."
All them,
and then Johnny might start because Johnny's parents.
Oh, my dad talked
to
Mr. Zoth.
The school. But my parents never, and I would always be like, why doesn't my dad fucking beat the shit out
well,
of the
we went to public school, so we were all given money to the school, you know what I'm saying?
That's a little bit. A very little amount of money.
Well, we should give more.
Private school, we were all given a lot of money to the school.
I know, I'm saying in public school, we were all giving money too, but equally.
Oh, I get it. I got you.
So no one's word meant more than the others. Although my dad did call Mr. Zoth. Mr. Zoth was our drama teacher in seventh grade, and I wanted to audition so bad because I wanted to be on stage and I wanted to be famous because I had already I was like, I'm going to be Jennifer Aniston. I just don't know how I'm going to do it. But I had so much
hard
stage
nipples.
Fright. Yeah, that's, I mean, I did it, Dad. Daddy, look, my nips are hard. Oh, God, I'm disgusting.
You see me now, Mr. Zoth?
So my dad did call Mr. Zoth because I was too nervous to audition in front of other kids. And there was an audition for To Kill a Mockingbird. And I used to have to go in, you know, like when we had class presentations, I would shake so badly and not be able to function talking in front of the class that I would have to like do it at recess because I had stage fright, which is obviously ironic given what I do now. But I wanted to audition for the play so bad, but I went to the audition and then I realized you have to audition in front of everyone. Like, you had to get up on stage in front of all the students auditioning. I just couldn't do it. So my dad called Mr. Zoth and was like, my daughter's too nervous, but she really wants to be in the play. And he gave me the understudy role for the lead based on nothing, but just because I was nervous. And then because I got the understudy role, I was at the play practices, got the experience of going up in front of and had a little bit of confidence. And then I got to perform on the Sunday show of the weekend of shows. The Sunday one was for the understudies because they all the leads got mysteriously poisoned by my dad's chocolate company. No.
the mockingbird die?
No. Yeah. Yeah, we killed a couple of mockingbirds. And
wait, how can you give an honest critique? The understudy show versus the overstudy show.
Yeah.
How much worse was it?
I made people cry because of my performance.
Fuck yeah.
Because
that
it
was
so
probably,
bad and they missed the lead so much. No. No, I did. I made Miss Dr. Holly, our principal, cry. And he was like, it was like one of those moments where afterwards people were like, this is your calling. And I don't think I was that good because I was never really good at drama. But I think
that's a big catalyst in your life now looking
huge.
Back.
Huge. Yeah. My dad making a call behind the scenes.
But now parents are all going to call the teacher.
It wasn't Mr. Zoth, why would you hold these things and give my daughter this? Why would you embarrass her? It was, my daughter's really scared. Would you mind if she privately auditioned? He goes, she doesn't need to do that. She can just be the understudy. And that like got me into it. So I do thank my dad for that, even though I cried because I was so embarrassed he did that on you know. And so let me just recite one of my favorite lines from the play. Calpurnia, what's rape? Well, rape is carnal knowledge of a female by force. That's all I remember.
Is that when Holly cried?
Yeah, that's what Dr. Holly cried. Well, I just remember always knowing rape is carnal knowledge of a female by force, which carnal knowledge, that's just another way of saying sex.
Oh, I didn't know.
Yeah, carnal meaning like carnivorous. I don't know.
Oh, carnal, not cardinal.
You think that rape is cardinal knowledge?
Well, mockingbirds in this story, too. I thought it was a bunch of birds.
That's a good point. All right. Top one, bottom one. Andrew, start. Kick us
off. What do you want, bottom or top?
Worst teacher.
My worst teacher, Mr. Mugford, go fuck yourself. I think I talked about him before. He drew the circle on the wall and made the Jew put his nose in it. And that Jew was me in front of the whole class. He said he would say Jewish jokes all the time. But here's the thing. I think liked the attention, too. It wasn't as clear cut. Because I think I was laughing, too. Like, I wasn't like a sad Jew. Like, it wasn't like, oh, poor me. I was like, ha, ha, ha.
But looking back, I mean,
yeah, I could see the whole class
anti-Semitic.
Laughing. Yeah.
I mean, it was just absurd that would happen.
Absurd. Yeah.
So
and,
sad.
He had nice arms. So.
But was that was he a dick other than that? Because you felt special in that moment. Like, not that you should have, but you did. Like, did you hate him at the time? we're only looking back.
No, I think at the time I wasn't as angry. I think looking back more, I'm like, oh my God, that guy was really off, like, by doing these things. But at the time, I think I kind of laughed at it to protect myself.
Noah, what was your worst teacher?
My worst teacher was a math teacher. Her name was Mrs. Finkelstein. And
God, that sounds so like you out of a children's book. Okay.
She was just so mean. But like the thing that always distracted me in class is that when she would get angry, she would start like scolding the student or whatever. And then her voice would get really deep at the end. So it was like, you have to do the math equation right now.
Whoa.
Whoa. Look at this impressionist.
Whoa.
Who's been the understudy
what
this whole time?
What grade was this? Did your dad call and get you?
Who is this person? Noah. Whoa. I mean,
this was like sixth or seventh grade.
What other voices can you do?
Did she yell at you?
That and Toni Braxton.
Wait, what?
It's kind of the same voice.
Wait, Toni Braxton?
I go really low. That's what I meant.
Oh, I didn't know Toni Braxton was low.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, who she said like... Yeah, she sang really low.
Unbreak my heart. Is that her?
Yeah.
Say you love me again. Oh, I love that song. Undo this hurt. You cough when you walk. Wait, the guy's coughing when he walked out the door?
I think it's Cardinal.
A call.
Wait, what?
Oh, call? I think it hurt you cough. Wait, look up the lyrics while we do this.
I think he sneezed.
I really always picture that guy going, and then she's like, wait. Is he leaving? COVID.
I want a divorce.
My worst teacher was Madam Hood.
That was her name.
Madam Hood.
Why was she a madam? Like, I don't understand this.
French.
Oh.
So, but we called her Mimi Hood because madam, like the Mrs. in French is MME because it's madam. And so we called Mimi Hood. And she was so mean and so scary. And you could never do, and you were. It, she was just terrifying, like really scary, really just judgmental.
Do you remember
disgusted.
Like a specific thing that?
Yes, I freshman year, I came into French 2 not knowing like the of French, the le and la. I didn't know. I just didn't learn that in seventh and eighth grade French. And she goes, "You don't know le and la." I came in during my free period to go get tutored by her, and she was like. She was so disgust. And the one time I was so excited, I read a note recently that Kirsten sent me because Kirsten has all the notes saved from high school that I wrote her. So one of the notes said, Mimi Hood, I'm so excited because Mimi Hood finally said something nice to me. She wrote on my test, pas mal, which is not bad. And I was elated. And I have to say, I've said this before, I think. Well, I don't think it's said on the podcast. She was so scared. I can't even say this part. It's just too, it's too bad. We were so scared of her and didn't like her so much.
Did you kill her cat or something?
She was pregnant. Okay. And one day she pulled down the projection screen. Like she was pulling it down and the whole thing fell and like on her head and like hit her.
You wanted it.
And she was like freaked out and had to run out of the classroom and was like, and she was probably like, 7-8 months pregnant at this point, and it might have hit her stomach, and she was like, oh God, and she was like so scared, and she ran out, and we were all like happy. And I really hate saying that. Her baby was fine, she was fine, but that's how much we hated her. I really hated her, and I'm sure she's somewhere and she was going through a really rough time, and I hope she's in a better place. But yeah, top teacher.
Look, she deserved it.
We used to call her daughter Petite Diable, little devil. We didn't even learn that word from her. We just came up, we looked it up in the dictionary so we could just talk shit about her daughter to her face.
And when someone's like a dick in French, it's so much more dicky because they have
horrifying.
Such arrogant. It's such an arrogant like language. It just sounds arrogant. Like,
I would love to know.
It sounds
what
like you're mimicking someone, doesn't it? When
Why
you speak
be
French?
A mean teacher? Like, what happened to you? Something terrible probably happened to her.
She became a French teacher.
Mimi Hood, if you're out there, I've actually looked her up recently to be like, where else did that bitch go? And
je m'appelle.
God, she still feels me. The fact that she might hear this, I'm fucking nervous. I'm sweating right now because I'm still so scared of that woman who was a very tiny woman that could not hurt me, has, you know, but I really wish her the best out there. I want to project kindness and love to her, and I'm going to forgive myself for feeling such disdain for her. But
not
I'm still
me.
Scared.
Not me. I hope another map
Top
falls
teacher.
On her.
No, no.
Yeah, map fall on your head. Dead baby.
No.
Yeah, dead baby.
I mean, her daughter that got hit by the map is probably... and call it graduating.
Did probably, you get hit by a globe?
Someone who works at iHeart is going to cancel this podcast. Her daughter.
Look, you win
later.
Some, you lose some. All right. So my favorite teacher, Mr. Gordon, if you're out there, thank you for being a cool guy. It was the first time like I don't know why I'm like reading it. It was the first time a teacher told me that I had, like, he
potential.
Could see something in me that I couldn't see in myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first time a teacher ever like been like, no, if you just apply yourself, Andrew, like I really do think you're very smart.
And aww, like, but that he means also, so much.
He coached basketball, and I think I listened. He coached our basketball mm-hmm. team. So I think I was like, wow, you're so good. Just so I could play more in basketball. I think that was
you
my end goal.
Ascribed him more like importance at the time to him.
Because I just wanted to play more on the team because I wasn't getting as much playing
time.
It's
like when I talk about when you ask someone for a favor that you could do yourself, you end up liking them more. Because you, or no, if I asked you to hand me a cup that I could grab and you do it, you don't want to be a little bitch. So you in your mind convince yourself you like me more than you do because that's why you did it. You like me. So you
like him
you
more.
Liking that teacher, pretending to like the teacher so that you would get a better spot on the basketball team actually made you like him more.
That makes sense. He really did. He really yeah. did. Like he would whatever like. Before a test, he would bring me in and like do one-on-ones and tell me how like cute I was. No.
And just the way that he taught me to suck his dick really gave me the confidence later on in life to pursue comedy and to suck dick on stage for many years until I was a dog walker and I met Nikki.
Who then made me suck her dick. Okay, so yeah, it all comes full half circles.
Noah, who was your favorite teacher?
So my favorite teacher was my third grade teacher, Miss Kizak, and I liked her because
would her voice get high at the end?
No.
Kizak.
Put the eraser away.
So I loved her because English.
Wait, Noah. Wait,
Noah, what was that noise?
We have to isolate the cute noise of like, that was the, I'm bored of this conversation. I have to go of noises. Noah, you go.
I did that?
Play it back. What time was this at?
It was really cute.
You got to figure this
out. Noah, you got to, everyone heard it. It was so cute. It was just like.
Oh my God, I'm like trying to.
No, don't be embarrassed. It was really cute.
Great.
It was just so dismissive of Andrew's like joke that it was perfect. It was. We need to isolate that sound so we can put it in after just a bomb of a joke.
That was rich.
Okay, I'll look for it and post.
Okay, well, what did Miss Kizak do?
So I really loved her because in third grade I was starting public school and it was, you know, English was my second language.
Oh my God.
And
obviously.
She was very good about like encouraging me and making me feel smart.
Aww.
So I feel like first year in public school could have been like make or break.
Hell, you just got lucky.
Yeah, and my first year learning English in second grade, I don't even remember it because it was so traumatic. So like she flipped that, and then you know just like. Made me more comfortable and confident.
Do you remember like why was she just like sweet to you and like understanding? Was there something she said that made you feel like less, you know, bad? Like, was there anything that we could like take from this of how to talk to kids that are struggling?
I think that just like trying to like answer a question in class, like, you know, in front of all the students and stuff, not having English as my first language. Just the way she approached it was very... like accepting, and she didn't like. I never felt like on the spot or anything like that.
Oh, I love her. I hope no maps fall on her.
Yeah.
So that she never knows where you came from. I'm just kidding. I don't even. I'm just trying to connect it to. that sounded. That sounded like who was the first teacher?
Mr. Mugford.
Yeah, that was a Mr. Mugford line. My favorite teacher, ironically enough, was Madame Kalfas.
A different French teacher?
Yes. French was not a subject that I excelled at, but I kept with it because I just wanted to be around Madame Kalfas, who I would see sometimes around, you know, the French department when I would had Mrs. Hood, Madame Hood. And then I finally got in Madame Kalfas's class, and I went on to AP French, which I had no business being in. I got a 2 on the exam, which is terrible, out of 5. I wasn't good, but she just like understood that I was a, well, my sister now works in the language department at Kirkwood High School with Madame Kalfas. My sister's a Spanish teacher at Kirkwood, which Madame is where I went to school. Senora Green.
Yeah.
And she works with Madame Kalfas, can attest to the fact that my instincts are right. She's the most amazing woman. Madame Kalfas is, I wrote to her years after I graduated telling her thank you, because I was probably like, took some Adderall or something. There was Louisa Lang, a hilarious comedian, had a post the other day of like, it was her writing a Facebook message to like a teacher she had in 4th grade, thanking him for like being such a good teacher. And she was like, when I'm on Adderall, and she's like, dear Mr. Like, it is whenever I would pop like a pill to study a lot in college, I would always end up having so much gratitude. But anyway, so I wrote to her and she said, I'll never forget you. Whenever September 11th rolls around, I'll always think of you because you were in my second hour class, and it happened during our first hour class, in which another teacher who was okay to me but not great, I'll never forget, where I go, Dr. Holly made the announcement, World Trade Center been hit. And I go, what's the World Trade Center? And she goes, you don't know what the World Trade Center is? And I was just like, no. She was AP English. I just did not understand what the World Trade Center was.
Your teachers did not know,
attack that I didn't understand the gravity of, because I didn't know what the World Trade Center was. Then I went over to Madame Kalfas's class, and she said, I'll never forget how upset you were about it, and how you were so sensitive. You were so emotional and so sensitive. And it was the first time I'd ever heard that about myself. And I think that was just something I needed. Like,
you needed 9/11. Is that what you're saying?
No, I just needed.
Jesus,
it
Nikki.
Was nice. I understand why I liked her, because she acknowledged how sensitive I was, and no one else in my life ever did.
No, I get that.
None of my family didn't acknowledge. Like, I'm just more sensitive than any person I know, and you know, much like comedians, I don't take any criticism well about myself, but I can dole it out. Like, I was just an extremely sensitive girl, and it just made me feel so seen later on in life to be like, this woman, that's why I loved her so much. There's a picture of me in my yearbook writing on her dry erase board during my free period. I just go hang out in her room, and I was writing J'heart, which is j'adore in French, Madame Kalfas. I was like gay for her. I was literally.
How old was she?
And she looks like Chrissy Turlington. She was probably in her 30s.
So she was hot.
She's not like hot. She's just like the most. I mean, she's beautiful, but she's just like the most lovely woman.
Especially
like, just,
compared to Hood.
I just wanted her as my mother. No offense to my mom, because I lucked out and obviously I got the best mom ever. But I wanted that like gentle person that would just go, oh, pauvre. She'd go, pauvre Kiki Twi. Because my French fake name was Kiki Twi, which I just thought, because we all get to make French names. And she'd say, poor Nikki. She would always like hug me and say, oh, she just understood that I was like very emotional. And then she went away because she had complications during her pregnancy. So she had to be bedridden for almost our whole senior year. So as an AP French with a different teacher.
What, did 2 maps fall on her?
And then she, yeah. So then. So then, a globe, one of the classroom. So, final thought.
There is something to this, like, it has to be genuine, but when you see something in someone and they don't see it in themselves, or you feel like, say it to them. Because there seems to, because we're very similar in this way, because I think.
You're sensitive too.
I'm very sensitive, and my parents, like, never commented on something like that might be like underlying with me.
Yeah.
And I think it was probably the same way. So when these teachers were like, actually, you are very intelligent. Actually, you are this.
Yeah. I acknowledge your pain.
You are. Well, that goes back to the first thing about getting hit with a car, because no one really realizes your pain because you're doing so well in your career. Everything looks great on the surface.
And when you do cry, it's like, I was very, very impacted by September 11th. I always, like, people always go, like, you know, what led to your eating disorder and all of your depression? And it was literally September 11th was like, my life was pre 9/11 and post 9/11.
But why though? Why did it hit you so hard, do you think?
Just the end amount of fatalities kinda, yeah. And just like the devastation and just like, it was because it was September 11th. It's fucking September. How do you ask why?
Because it didn't hit me, and I'm being honest. Why like people, it didn't.
But yeah,
I was gonna say probably from like all the suffering that you saw.
It was so sad, and yeah. I wasn't allowed to feel it because I didn't live in New York. It was removed, and so when I was really upset about it, it was like, "What are you crying about?"
Yes,
you're not even there. So that's how it was met. And then a month later, my person who I never was friends with in front of my family, who I only knew through school and outside of school where my parents weren't around, killed himself. And then I was crying about that. And they go, you didn't even know this kid. Why are you crying? So it's just a constant like,
yeah.
Why? And even now I talk about, you know, what led to me having all those problems. And I go, it was September 11th. And people go, were you there? And I'm like, no, I was in fucking St. Louis in the safety of my school. But I was just so... It was so fucked up that I couldn't, everything was before and after that. That's why everything in my life, when like anything around that time, I go, oh, I saw Notting Hill before 9/11. Like my life is split in half.
Interesting.
I'm not judging.
I'm just wondering like,
and I'm just so grateful that someone was able to witness it and go, I always think of you on September 11th because you were the most moved by it in our second hour class when we were watching the towers fall. Like I was the one in class that she stood out to her as like, and I don't remember, I wasn't sobbing. I was just, it's just so nice when someone, like you said, when someone can see something in you that you didn't think anyone saw.
Yeah.
And goes, you know what? I acknowledge that you process this in a different way than I saw anyone else process it. You are okay to feel that way. You weren't wrong. It was like, it was a real thing. You weren't trying to get attention because I didn't get any fucking attention. That's what led me to get an eating disorder so someone could go, hey, are you okay? You're disappearing. And then finally I could be like, yeah. And then at that point you go, no, I'm fine. I don't want any attention. And then you can't stop not eating. And then then actually no one gets involved until the state gets involved and they pry you from your mom's hands that are trying to keep you so that you can die in her custody.
Not eating Hill.
Not eating I have no resentments.
Yeah, man. I sometimes I get jealous of people that can, when something's outside of them, like, you know, it's weird. Like the world is fucked up. There's so many fucked up things in this world. Yeah. And if you start taking in one, I guess maybe a lot of people's fear is like, if you really take in,
you let it in, then if you realize like, there are millions of children starving to death in Yemen right now. Like if you actually think about that number and see the pictures starving children, how are you going to get through your day? And the answer is you don't. So you have that when I quit Zoloft and like the emotions flooded in and I started doing therapy and the suffering of animals entered into my mind and I really saw what was going on. I was so depressed, I could not handle it. I had to get on something to shut those feelings off because people who are empaths, I hate when people describe themselves that way, but you know, our friend Bill the other day was like, he feels people's emotions. Like he was like, I don't know what happens, but I will always start crying before someone starts crying. It's almost like he knows it's coming and like can feel it. And I go, how do you live like that, always feeling everyone's pain? He goes, but it's not just pain, like I feel people's happiness. So like, I'm not always sad. I'm also feel happiness sometimes because I feel it was just very interesting.
It's and like
I
think dogs knowing a thunderstorm's coming.
Yes. Before. Or I go, is it that you're predicting someone's crying or is that your crying makes them cry? Like you're able to, because I went to a therapist who's supposed to mirror the feelings I'm supposed to have. So she would start crying before me when
like
I would be
mime?
Telling a story.
Like someone that like
yeah,
mimes
because
you?
Dr. Drew told me that I don't feel my feelings. And so I have to have someone show me that it's okay. And that's why when I want to cry, I text my friends, is it okay to cry about this? And the second they go, yes, I would cry about that, a fucking storm comes out of my face. But not until then. It's also the reason why I can't. I told this to my psychiatrist the other day. I go, I can't cry until someone gives me permission. And I can't come until someone gives me permission. He was like, huh. And I was like, please follow up so I don't think you're turned on right now. Like, whenever I talk about sex with a male therapist, I always get worried they're going to get turned on.
Were your nipples hard?
So I always go, but I hadn't shaved my bush yet.
Yeah, and I farted on it.
I always have to like add something.
You're like A-Rod describing his makeup line. Like it has to be like manly or like something else to make you feel better.
All right. Well, we really got into it today. We have so much more to talk about over the week. I hope you'll be there with us, besties. Thank you so much for listening. Hope you had a good weekend. Keep leaving voice memos for the show. We're going to get into your listener mail on Thursday, as we always do. Tomorrow, we will do a Reddit dump, and we'll get into Andrew's weekend, which I haven't heard about at all. He was gone all weekend, and I want to hear about him hiking and doing all these things that are of no interest to me, but I want to hear how you experienced
that. And review the pod. Did you say that?
And review the pod. Oh, yeah. Rate and review the pod
and review on Apple.
On Apple. It really means a lot to us. And just thank you for listening. And thank you for, even if you didn't enjoy the show today, I still appreciate you listening.
Today's show was great.
I mean, I revealed a lot. I was a little chatty and I'm a little annoyed with my own voice. But that's because I can finally hear myself in my headphones. And before, I wasn't hearing it. And now I'm like, you talk too much.
It's a lot.
Okay.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive, with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light. Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit. April 25th to 27th with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon. And on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Brought to you by Microsoft Surface, powering a better game.